Welcome to HeadFlex, the podcast where you can listen to real-time coaching conversations to learn more about coaching and yourself.
Join us, Rebecca and Diane, coaches with years of experience, to flex the sometimes messy hot topics in the workplace that we don't always talk about. Have you ever felt isolated at work, overlooked, or maybe just out of the loop? That's what we'll be discussing and flexing today in the context of professional isolation, a theme that comes up in our coaching practice a lot. I'm Diane.
And I'm Rebecca. Welcome to our HeadFlex podcast. Stay tuned for the self-coaching questions at the end of the podcast so you can reflect on the subject and find your own answers.
So according to the ONS, pre-pandemic, so 2019, less than 5% of employees reported working from home some of the time. Not surprisingly, by 2024, that's risen to over a quarter of employees spending at least some of their working week at home. Included in the report are also some advantages and disadvantages that people experienced. Things like fewer distractions, so able to get on with your work a bit more quickly, maybe a bit more work-life balance. And some even reported some improvements in well-being. But the interesting thing about that is that some of those were viewed as advantages by some of the people working from home, but actually others experienced those same things as disadvantages. And that's just the perspective of the employees. When you sort of extend that and think about the impact on business and productivity, I think that's even more difficult to establish.
I mean, it's great, isn't it? I mean, it's really interesting because it shines a light on why so many boards are grappling with this issue at the moment, because, you know, the benefits of working from home are also creating some of the disadvantages. So, you know, boards are really thinking about, actually, is it right to bring everyone back into the office? You know, clearly there's cost benefits to that, everyone staying at home. But, you know, actually, what is it's going to be right for companies in the long run? So, yeah, great subject to be talking about today.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we start thinking about, therefore, whose responsibility is it? You know, is it the responsibility of the leaders to be creating working environments that are going to reduce those aspects of professional isolation? Or is it the responsibility of the workers to request that if, you know, they don't feel great working from home, or they don't feel they are as productive or working as well or getting close to reaching their potential?
I wonder whether before we kind of go any deeper into this, it was worth us just checking in on actually what are we talking about when we talk about professional isolation, because it could mean so many different things to different people. So what's your experience of professional isolation, Diane? What is it about this subject that you've really connected to or heard about recently in your coaching?
Yeah, I think what I've noticed is, I think, you know, in general, if we talk about professional isolation, we're probably just exploring the negative impact of not being together. So not being together with your colleagues in a shared workplace. So I think things that can come from that, things like the lack of exposure to the wider business, maybe lack of collaboration with your colleagues, maybe fewer opportunities because you're not there. And of course, that lack of social connection. And I think that's probably what we're thinking about when we think about professional isolation. But in answer to your question, one of the things that I have noticed in particular is this lack of what I'd call informal reassurance.
Oh, I like that. Tell me about that.
So I think what I mean by that is when you're in an office together with other people, you can often get some reassurance from others really on a very, very informal basis. So it might just be somebody walks past your desk and you just say, oh, could you just have a quick look at this email? Or, you know, you're making a cup of tea or a coffee and you might say, oh, have you noticed that that seems to be happening a lot? Or have you finding that with some of your clients at the moment? And what you get back from that is just that gentle reassurance that, yeah, I've noticed that too. Or, yeah, I think you're doing okay. You're on the right track. It's that sort of equivalent of just being tapped on the shoulder or someone's just a hand on your shoulder to go, you're doing okay. And I think when we're at home, if we want that reassurance, we'll formalize it. You know, so you'll ring somebody, or you'll even these days send a message to say, is it okay to have a quick phone call? Or you might request a Teams call. And I've noticed that people start to feel a bit of self-doubt around that, you know, like, have I taken up someone's time? Am I bothering them? And then, oh, have I made a big deal out of that? And I think that overthinking comes when you're at home on your own thinking, oh, I should have just dealt with that myself.
Yeah, so there's a danger really that the employee starts to really withdraw professionally and isolates themselves even more. So there's even more need, right, for a manager or a leader in a business to really start to notice if that professional isolation is starting to kick in. You know, where's their responsibility for creating cultures, I suppose, which create that professional connection? I'm just thinking about some of my clients who are struggling maybe to get feedback or to know when is the best time to phone their boss or their team leader, you know. And so the mental load that increases in somebody's working day is quite high. You know, it's not as relaxed and it's not as informal. And so that decreases our capacity, I suppose, to deal with, you know, the demands in our working day because we're starting to second guess ourselves professionally.
Yeah, and I think that's real. And I think when I was researching this topic alongside what I've been experiencing in my coaching practice, some of the statistics and some of the research was suggesting that managers and supervisors tend to actually work from home more than the non-managers. So therefore, all those things that you're saying, the important stuff that a leader needs to notice and observe and be there to be able to shoulder that responsibility and even know whether this is a thing, if they're not there, how can they even spot that's going on? And will therefore people who are starting to feel a bit more self-doubt by being at home, will they then withdraw even more because they don't have that connection? They don't feel like, well, if I just went into the office, my manager would be there anyway, so I can have the conversation. If they're not there either, then does that make someone withdraw even more?
Yeah, and it's not one size fits all either, is it? Because if I think about myself, I am more, I suppose, on the introverted dial and therefore kind of working at home and being able to refresh by myself and all of those things are really important. When I've been coaching people recently, what I've been asking them to do is really tune into the energy that they get maybe from being in that professional environment where they might have access to some senior people that they might not have done previously, or where a leader is actually getting energy from their team through that professional connection. And so it's a lovely thing to do is just tune into the energy that you notice in yourself. I do, you know, when I'm in London, yes, the commute can be a pain. Yes, it can be kind of, you know, really busy on the trains again, particularly in that Tuesday to Thursday slot. But actually, when I reflect on the energy professionally that I'm getting from other people and that connection, it's huge. It really is huge. So I think increasing kind of your own awareness about where you are really getting that kind of connection and noticing the habits that we all fall into, right? With the ability to work from home more often, we do fall into habits that maybe aren't as useful to us and our own professional development as we thought they were.
Yeah, no, I know. And I think it's easy, isn't it? It's easy to, you know, have an easier start to your day, you know, not face the commute, not face the traffic. But actually, is that to our own detriment? Are we having to then put so much effort into re-energizing ourselves when actually we would get that from other people? But I think it's not that simple. I do think it's very nuanced. I do think there's a lot more to this. And you know, I don't think that this discussion is to say working from home is not okay, because I think that flexibility for people and just that sense of autonomy to have some choice is actually really important. But is there an impact on, like you say, our own professional development? Is there an impact on the business in terms of performance levels? Do we need that energy to be creative, innovative, collaborative, to come up with solutions? Are we missing out? And I think your mention of the word habit is really important in that. I think we get into a habit. And are we creating bad habits because it's easy? I don't know.
Yeah. And how do you invite just really noticing behaviors, you know, your own behaviors, what's really healthy for you and what is unhealthy? And the same for leaders and managers in teams. You know, one of the things to talk about in leadership programs and leadership coaching is, you know, really tuning into the individuals in your team. You know, what are you noticing about their level of progression? How do they connect with you? How do they communicate with you? Are they withdrawing? You know, have you noticed them kind of stepping back over time? And that's a signal that maybe there's some reconnection that needs to happen. And that might have to come from you as a manager or a leader, but also as an individual, you know, noticing when we're doing that. You know, I know I've had to do that myself. It's just like checking and go, okay, you're working at home a lot. It's easy to do this online. Actually getting back up into London or traveling, you know, I travel as well around the country to coach, and it just shifts an energy.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think in that respect, it's different leadership skills. You know, we work a lot with leaders. We look around good characteristics of leaders, don't we, and how to become a better leader. And actually, those leadership skills are changing, aren't they? And we have to adapt with what we've got. And people will want to work from home. Of course they will. We've said, you know, there's lots of benefits that come from that. But as a leader, how then do you make sure you're still fulfilling that connection with your team, knowing your team, doing the best for them, getting to those higher levels of leadership where you're able to develop your team and your team want to follow you because you have that exposure? So I definitely think there's so many facets to this problem. And you know, if you do research professional isolation, the word that pops up is loneliness. And that's an interesting word, I think, because are we lonely because we're not socially connected, or are we just missing out professionally because we might not be picking up those little extra bits of information, or we might not be having that, what I call that informal reassurance. So we might start to be feeling a bit more anxious.
And that's a vulnerable place for somebody to go, right? To admit to themselves that they're feeling lonely. Mm. And so one of the conversations that I remember having recently with somebody was about how they address this actually with their line manager. And we talked about that, you know, the good old Brené Brown, but you know, the combination of vulnerability and courage to have the conversation about what they needed from their manager, because they were feeling professionally isolated. They weren't getting the feedback. They couldn't get hold of them. You couldn't see them face to face when they were in the office, they weren't available. And so we talked about how to step into that place of vulnerability to say, actually, I'm struggling with this. And this is kind of what I need from you. And they did, to their credit, they did. And actually, that's completely transformed that relationship. Because sometimes if you're a leader and manager, for all the will in the world, you kind of heads down trying to make the money, trying to keep the business going. You don't always notice that. And so I'd really invite people, if you're listening to this and are struggling with this, to maybe have that honest conversation to start to address that sense of isolation or loneliness that you might be feeling. It's uncomfortable, right? It's an uncomfortable thing to admit to yourself.
Of course it is. I think any kind of feeling exposed professionally, personally is really, really difficult. And I think what was coming up for me then when you were talking about that is something that we talk about in coaching an awful lot, is trust. So if we are disconnected, maybe professionally isolated, how do we build that level of trust with our team, with our colleagues, with our peers, with our managers, with our, you know, seniors? How do we build that level of trust so that we are comfortable and courageous enough to be vulnerable?
Yeah. And how do leaders and managers create the environment for that to happen? You know, psychological safety is no longer the jargon of coaches and trainers and leadership trainers. You know, it's part of how, you know, cultures are starting to really emerge. And so leaders and managers really need to be asking themselves, actually, how safe am I creating this environment for somebody to say, I'm struggling or I need some help? And if that isn't happening within your team, then there's some behaviors that need to start to shift, or some different types of conversations that can happen to just help ease that sense of professional isolation that some people are really feeling at the moment.
Yeah, and I think that is something that, therefore, if you are a leader and you're trying to think about how you work and how to structure how everybody works, I think there's quite a lot of work that needs to be done in terms of just asking the question. You know, where's everybody at? How is it suiting everybody else? You know, what sort of environment is going to be conducive to that collaboration, to collaborative working, to the building trust amongst the team? You know, how much connection do people want? How much connection do people need? what's your role as a manager to create that? And from my experience and the conversations I'm having, I don't always think those questions are being asked so much at the moment.
No. And because, you know, it's really tough at the moment. You know, we're hearing it all the time. You know, it's really fast paced. People are under pressure. Cost of living crisis means people aren't socializing as much with each other, you know, and to admit that that sense of loneliness is there is a hard thing to do. I mean, let's face it, you know, being a coach can feel isolating because you're often working together. It's part of the reason why we're doing this together. You know, it's to collaborate. It's to do more together. It's to not be so professionally isolated. So you have to almost really intentionally build this into your working life, even if it means that maybe your ability to really focus for 8 hours of that day is slightly compromised. The growth and the connection you get from that can be really beneficial.
I think that's so true. And I think I was having a conversation with somebody about that recently and saying how much we have enjoyed working together when traditionally as coaches, yes, you're working with others, but professionally, you don't always have the sounding board or just somebody there doing the same thing as you with shared experiences. And we've loved it. And they said, oh, do you know what? I don't think I have that. And it's hard. And like you said, you have to set an intention to build it. So if we are all sat in our, you know, kitchen tables with our laptops, are we missing out on that?
Well, it certainly falls into the category of one of those messy topics at work, right? Because I think there's so many strong opinions about it and so much we can do. So one of the things that we really encourage people to do is to see what you really connect with within this episode. And so at the end of each episode, we always end with some reflective questions. And this feels like a natural place to bring those in, to encourage you just to stop and think about your own place in this conversation. You know, have you noticed this sense of loneliness kicking in for you when you were listening to us? What is it you really connected with? What didn't you? You know, what is it about your own habits that maybe you need to change? So grab a pen and paper, grab a phone if that's how you write notes. You can pause the questions, think about them over, you know, over the next few hours or when you're in the shower, whatever it is. But just take some time for yourself to kind of coach yourself through some of these. So the questions we're going to ask today, number one is, what habits have you fallen into that might be contributing to a sense of professional isolation? What habits have you fallen into that might be contributing to a level of professional isolation? Number two, is the way that you're working now helping or hindering your performance and professional connection to work? And finally, how are you offering that informal reassurance that Diane was talking about to colleagues? And what else could you try? Thank you so much for listening to us today. It's been a great conversation. Thank you for bringing this to my attention, Diane. You were the one that kind of really, we started talking about this and it just felt like such a natural episode. So enjoy those reflective questions and we'll look forward to seeing you next time.
Thanks, Rebecca. And yes, enjoy reflecting and flexing. And we look forward to flexing again next time. Thanks for flexing with us. Please rate, review, and follow the show wherever you listen to your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.
To find out more and join the conversation, go to headflex.co.uk.